You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yep, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is, it's midweek. Boomer, it's midweek.
It's midweek.
You know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes. Every week, got to do it. It's hump day. It's midweek. You've made it halfway to the weekend. Congratulations. Hold on. Saturday's coming. All right. Well, that's good stuff. Hey, Boomer, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Camel makes it better.
Always. It just puts a smile on my face.
You got any more Little Man baseball games coming up this week?
He has a game tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. All right.
So okay. We'll see how that turns out. It's all a late game, past his bedtime, so hopefully he doesn't fall asleep.
Wow. little guy's getting sleepy in the dugout.
Yeah, that's right. All of them probably will be.
Wow, that's hilarious. All right. Good times, though, man. Good times. All right, hey, Alex, we got a great show, Lee. I like a lot of stuff here. This has been a full week, Boomer. These shows have been, like, cranking.
Completely full.
So 3 o'clock today, Terry Lathan, who is the former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, she just started a new initiative because apparently she was not settled on retirement. But she just started a new initiative to support school choice in the State House. We're going to talk with her about ROME, which stands for Republicans on a Mission. So Rome is kicking off, and it's headed up by our former chairwoman of the Alabama Republican Party, Terry Lathan. She will be here at 3 o'clock today to tell us all about it, so stay tuned for that one. And then it is Wednesday, and not only do we play the Camel every Wednesday, but we also have the Grand Council every Wednesday. Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, and myself at 4 o'clock today. You'll want to stay tuned for the Grand Council. And then on top of all that, we still got a triple dipper, so hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, I'm calling it SOS, Save Our Schools. SOS, Save Our Schools. So I'm just sick to death of hearing the arguments of, well, you can't put tax dollars in private school education. Yeah, you can. You're putting them in the education of the child of the taxpayer. How about that? So SOS, Save Our Schools. We're going to hear from Terry Lathan, and we're going to talk through some things that other states are leading the way on, and Alabama is still dragging behind. SOS, Save Our Schools, number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, I didn't get to it Friday. I didn't get to it Monday or Tuesday, but it's a good enough topic to where I hung on to it for today. Virtue failing. You hear about virtue signaling. This is virtue failing. This is when companies have kind of gotten way beyond their skis, and they're throwing money at things that they think are going to make them look woke and happy, and everybody's going to love them now. All it is this virtue signaling, which some of them turns into virtue failing. So we'll talk about that, which leads me to number three on the Triple Dipper. Perfect segue there. I'm calling it ESG-OMG. So ESG is just, it's just become the thing. Do you know the first ever veto in President Biden's entire tenure has been related to trying to preserve ESG? I mean, it's just unreal. Environmental, social, governance, it's wokeness. It's wokeness in the world of business and insurance and banking. And it needs to go away. And states are fighting back. So we'll talk about it in more detail. Number three on the Triple Dipper, ESG-OMG. Which leads me, by the way, to my comments for today. Just segue after segue here. So let me start off by asking you this question. What happens when an effort to do one thing becomes something entirely different? I mean, by that, I mean, what is the outcome for any entity that establishes itself with a duty to do something, some singular thing, that then deviates without good cause towards something different? The expected result will then be that the original mission is going to suffer. And for those who depended upon the original mission being successful, they will undoubtedly face some exposure towards loss. Call it mission creep. You can call it malfeasance. You can call it negligence. You can even call it sometimes recklessness. But history dictates that losing sight of one's original duties or priorities has a way of creating unrest. Just ask the French. So yeah, the French Revolution kicked off in roughly 1789, but that was just the breaking point. I mean, the events leading up to the French Revolution, they had been brewing and simmering and brewing some more for decades. But what you saw behind the scenes of the people's discontent was the gross mismanagement of the affairs of governance. It was not at all a government for the people. It was, in fact, merely a government for the elite, by the elite, of the elite. And it was during those final stages of the mismanagement that the famous quote attributed to Marie Antoinette was said to have been uttered when she was confronted with the news of a famine outside the gates of her palace. She allegedly said, "Let them eat cake," a phrase that just flew all over French citizens who could not even get a crust of bread, much less cake. Well, the French elite had lost their way. Long known as a center of gravity for all things culture, fashion, and political power, the court at Versailles began to be so focused on its own agendas that it forgot that it had one mission only, to govern. To govern in such a way that the nation of France, not the elite, but the actual nation of France, could not just survive, but actually thrive. But as the population of 18th century France grew, the reign of King Louis XVI proved incapable of seeing beyond its own insatiable need to be relevant, powerful, all-knowing. The financial status of the king's court grew, but the management of the nation's finances waned. The population grew, but the ability of the agricultural capabilities of the French to sustain themselves diminished because infrastructure to get farm to market was never improved. Food shortages caused a 65% increase in food prices, but wage growth could not keep up. In the meantime, the French crown continued to pursue prideful interests dating back to the days of the mighty French Empire and the quest to find new resources to continue puffing up the court at Versailles. As a result, the French monarchy went further and further into debt, resulting in massive state financial crises. And the French crown controlled spending, but it had no control whatsoever on revenue. And so the end result of years of recklessness and straying away from their original mission is that the people of France finally stormed the Bastille in an effort to take back their lives. Now, I could easily make the case that much of what brought about the massive change in the 18th century French government can be seen now in the manner in which the Biden administration governs the United States, but I'll save that for another day. For now, I'm using the analogy of the epic mismanagement of resources by the pre-revolution French monarchy to talk about the epic mismanagement of resources by companies that pursue ESG. You heard me. In my opinion, the efforts of left-wing financiers, financial planners, politicians, and insurance companies, it represents a cabal that has strayed from their original mission. That mission was supposed to be to ensure that those entities acted in the best interest of their shareholders, that they make every effort at providing a maximum return on investment for those who have entrusted them with the fiduciary duty of doing just that. So, like, basically, if I give you a dollar with the contractual understanding that you're going to do all that you can to make me some type of profit on that dollar, well, then I have a right, an actual right, a meeting of the minds, if you will, to expect that your efforts are going to be primarily focused on creating that profit for me, pure and simple. But ESG world doesn't care about shareholders. They take our dollars, and they then decide what is best in what they've deemed a stakeholder environment. Not shareholder, but stakeholder. It's the contention by ESG financiers that despite signing a contract with you to maximize your dollar, that the very first mission they're going to pursue is actually to build a world that meets their understanding of what the world should be. By the way, that's not your understanding, it's their understanding. So they'll take your hard-earned dollar and they'll use it to promote social justice agendas like Black Lives Matter, reduced bail arraignments, pro-abortion legislation, non-photo ID voting. Yeah. They'll take your hard-earned dollar and they'll work hard to promote candidates for office that will feed their ESG narrative and provide them with ease of regulation to do so. They'll take your hard-earned dollar and they'll buy carbon offsets and promote wind farms and slam the oil and gas industry. And if at the end of all their ESG efforts they have any of your dollar left, they'll tell you they've been effective at their jobs. It's the 21st century version of let them eat cake. So here's a thought. Get back to business. All right, maybe, just maybe, it should be recalled by those who sit in the high boardrooms at ESG-laden companies that they have an actual duty to their shareholders, not stakeholders, to their shareholders. And truly, if they want to support, promote, and champion liberal environmental, social, and governance causes, well, then nothing's stopping them from taking a portion of their own large salaries and board stipends and supporting the liberal 501c3 of their choice. I fully suspect, and I can almost bet this, I fully suspect that the day is coming when there's going to be a major ESG lawsuit that's going to kick off. It might even come in the form of a large class action. As people find out that their futures have been squandered by those in whom they laid their trust as they left their first and primary mission, then I fully suspect that someone or some group is going to file a major shareholder derivative action in an effort to bring accountability back to the businesses that went astray. It may actually be, you know, somewhat of a 21st century version of legally storming the Bastille. So my advice to the ESG companies, remember what you were founded on to actually do. You have one job, and it's time for you to get back to business. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yet boggles my mind how they can believe that they're doing what they were designed to do. If you're designed to manage investments, that would certainly mean a profit, right? Unless, of course, you work for BlackRock, in case there you want to make sure you maximize stakeholders in the world, not shareholders in your portfolio. Same with banking. And then same with, you know, too many politicians that bought into the notion that, hey, let's be more woke. Green policy, big government, lots of social justice. Yeah, how about get back to business? There's an idea. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. That's just good. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, with Boomer putting on the best bumps in radio. Man, and I love that where he goes, have mercy. That's one of my favorite parts of a song like that, where to have mercy. And then there's what's the one, Flirting with Disaster by Molly Hatchet. We're in the background, all of a sudden he goes, it ain't for everybody.
Yes.
All right. Hey, listen, we got all kinds of stuff laid on for you right now. Let me talk through a couple of pieces of breaking news just to make sure you're aware. And this is just truly just breaking news in no particular order. First of all, there has been an active shooter event at a Denver high school, so Denver, Colorado. Two adults injured, I believe. If I got my story straight, but no deaths that we know of. But the shooter is still on the loose, and so apparently the person fired the shots and then vacated the premises. And police are on the hunt for that individual right now. We're just thankful to hear that there were no deaths on scene, at least not that we've seen or confirmed now to this point. There's that story. The next one is, so the whole Trump grand jury thing just continues to, who knows?
Who knows?
Moving target.
Just keeps going.
That's just, what you got to do.
What do you feel like? New day, new story.
Yeah, well, the new story is right now, the grand jury, which was coming in today with the belief that they may be finished up and moving towards, a call to determine whether there's an indictment or not, it was canceled today. And by the way, do not think that means they've been adjourned. The grand jury has not been dismissed. It's coming back in. But for some reason we don't know, which could have been as simple as somebody got COVID or something. Who knows? All that to say, something happened today, and the grand jury meeting that was supposed to take place on the DA of Manhattan's efforts to indict Trump on a heinous misdemeanor. Has been canceled. So there's that one. And then the other one that just broke is that the Fed has decided to raise the rate again. So another quarter point. I'm all over the board. I got active shooters, I got President Trump, and I got the Fed. But yeah, all three breaking news just in the last hour. In fact, Boomer, how prescient is that? So I'm looking up the screen, and there's Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell making his speech, his pitch for why it was necessary to raise another quarter point.
Wow.
Just dang. Wow. Mm. Now, you know, they can't keep it down at zero like they did for the last 10 years and flood the market with capital. But what we're looking at now, though, is everything comes off of that Fed interest rate, you know, and they keep raising it. They're trying to quell inflation. But then again, it gets to this balancing act of when are you quelling inflation and when are you making things worse? So some would say in housing markets and new starts and in new construction, that the Fed rate is really starting to hurt those markets. And those are indicators of a thriving economy. So at some point you got to look at, okay, I mean, supposedly they're smart people, but then again, they presided over a lot of mess. So who knows how smart they really are. But nonetheless, I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but it feels to me like it's about time to stop raising the rates and start letting the market normalize and stabilize. Just me saying.
I think so.
I'm there. All right. We got text lines are already open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We're going to be talking about school choice. We're going to be talking about, you know, virtue signaling from a corporation standpoint. And we're going to be talking about ESG. And we got the Grand Council. And I've already got one detractor. So this text never makes sense to me. I think he may have called in on this one time. But Scott from Huntsville is of the mind, and this is the most just unbelievably convoluted level of thinking. He says, Phil, it's very dishonest for you to push the socialist school subsidy bill when it's not publicly published. Stop pushing socialism and then running spots saying that socialism is bad. I have no idea what he's talking about. The idea that, so let me get this straight. Because right now, socialism says government knows how best to spend the money. The Price Act, which we have seen the premise of it, not necessarily the final version of the legislation, clearly states that, no, it's not about funding government, it's about funding kids' educations and parents having a say in how that works. And we're going to give you the money back to do that with, which therefore decentralizes control away from the central government, which is the tenet of socialism. And yet Scott says, Scott, I got to ask, just text me and let me know. Are you a member of the AEA? I'd just like to know. And if you're not, then please explain how you believe, without giving me a 15-paragraph text, how you believe that this is socialism. Tyler from Huntsville just texted and said that shooting in Denver happened this morning. Two administrators shot, one in serious condition, the other critical in surgery. And the kid that shot, I guess they're saying that was a kid that was a shooter. Was a student that was required to be searched every day for safety concerns. If you got a kid that has to be searched every day, like a special search this one, maybe he shouldn't be in the school to begin with. All right. Wow. And then Brian from Huntsville said the Federal Reserve is an active shooter. Wow. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.